Psalm 91, please. Yeah. I'm anxious for the ladies to get back. I believe we make demand on what they've got there. It's interesting. I picked up a book. We were blessed to get to go to Red River Gorge and stay in a cabin for a couple, 3 days, Nana and I, and it had a hot tub. If I had one, I'd never probably leave the house, you know. Makes your bike and everything feel so good while you're in there anyway. But I picked up a book before I left, and it was by Heidi Baker, and you had given it to Donna. And Heidi Baker was speaking at this women's conference. She's an incredible woman of God, but I read a big chunk of this book, and it just breathes faith. But it breathes, you know, the reason that you see so many miracles. They're in Africa. They're Mozambique, I think. And they see thousands of blind eyes open. They see ears open. You know, they see all this stuff. Anyway, I'm not going to go into that, but I read that, and I thought, wow, that's so true. I mean, talk about the secret place a lot, and that's pivotal in what happens in our life in the church. Is if we don't have secret place time, very little is probably going to happen, you know. And I know I've had to apologize to the Lord that I haven't spent as much in the secret place as I used to, because guess what? You get busy with good stuff. And that's the thing. If the enemy can't get you busy with what you used to do, drinking and partying and, you know, doping and adultering and whatever you're into, if he can't keep you busy with that, well, he'll settle for keeping you busy with stuff. And it is good stuff, but she gave up several huge things that God had going, and he said, I don't want this for you no more. It's like, God, what do you mean? How are they going to make it without us? And that's just it. The enemy will convince you that how can it go on without you? And sometimes you got to start thinking what your priorities are. What am I doing? Is it fruitful? Why am I doing it? And that's not the faithfulness. What Donna said is very true. That don't mean you give up on something because it's not bearing fruit yet. If you do that, you're just going to be planting seeds here. Okay, this ain't coming up. This ain't coming up. You're just never going to accomplish nothing. You're just going to scatter seeds and watch them die all over the planet. But if you'll be faithful. But the point is, you need to hear what God wants you to do. If God tells you to do it, it's a lock. It's going to produce fruit. If God tells you to do it. So be sure to listen to him. I know y'all do. But there's a lot of voices out there. Okay, Psalm 91. We're going to start at verse 3. Surely he will deliver. Lord, we thank you for your word. I thank you, God. And hold your hands up. God, your word is not boring. Your word is supernatural, God. And God, we need supernatural in our lives, right? Lord, we need wombs to be open where they're not open, God. We need babies to come when they're not there, God. We thank you for I thank you for these testimonies, God. I thank you for healing the sick, God. I thank you for all the things, Lord, that you have showed us here today, and more that people haven't spoke up because they just haven't maybe realized their miracles. But God, let us be more aware of your presence. Let us be more aware of your miracle-working power, and knowing that you want that for us, God. You want good things for me, Jesus. Verse 3, he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. What's a snare? You know what a snare is. Trap? Like what? Like a noose? Yeah. You can bend a tree over. You can do it lots of different ways. The way we did it never worked, but we thought we were going to catch something. But the snare of the fowler. And there was people that went around, and their whole job was to catch birds, which is a fowl. So snare of the fowler is a snare that catches birds. So that's what he's talking about. And you can compare that to the enemy, because he sets traps for you every day. And if you're real, I'd say if you're a hunter, you ought to be more spiritually aware of traps, you know. You really should. Because I watched Samuel set up a trap. We was trying to catch a fox that was eating chickens. And he said, well, you got to get all the smell off of it, man. You got to bury it in the dirt. You got to do all these things. You got to make it look natural. You got to have gloves on when you got to do all these things. It's like when you guys go deer hunting, you don't go out there with a, well, I guess you do have a screaming orange cap on. I never could figure that. But you go out there and you get in a blind or you get in a tree and you very quiet and very stealthy. That's a good word, isn't it? Sometimes you'll put feet out, which is illegal, but sometimes it happens, don't it? There's people that actually do that, I'm sure. They put feet out, and it's to draw them in. It's to make them unaware of what's going on around them. And when you're up in a tree, guess what? Deer don't, well, they probably do now, but they used to. They didn't. They're looking like this. They're not looking up in the tree for danger. They're looking all around them. So you set a trap. You are deceitful. Danny's very deceitful when he goes deer hunting. It's to deceive the enemy or the prey. It's the same way with Satan. He's very deceitful. And I better shut up. I wasn't going to preach but a minute. I just want to read the scripture. He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from what? The perilous pestilence. What's perilous? Dangerous. What's pestilence? Disease, right? Anything that can take you out. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will take refuge. His truth will be your shield and buckler. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Listen to this. How many promises have we got here? 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. What a promise. Isn't that an awesome promise? There's people dropping all around you, and you're still standing. Isn't that awesome? Only with your eyes will you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil will befall you, nor any plague come near your dwelling. For he will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, or you, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So is this reaping? I mean, do you want this kind of life? You do. Trouble's going to come. I mean, if you live on planet Earth, trouble's going to come. But all these promises, if these promises were given in the Old Covenant before Jesus came, if this was to David, I didn't read to make sure it was Moses, but I think it was a promise to David that he wrote this. So how much more those who belong to Jesus, how much more those who are filled with the Holy Spirit, how much more do these promises apply to us, right? So, I didn't read the first two verses for a reason. Everything I read to you was reaping, right? The first two verses are about sowing. He who dwells, what's that mean? I mean, you hang out under the steeple once a week? Does that mean you come to prayer meeting on Wednesday? Yeah, it can mean that, sure. That's a good thing. But Jamie, on the way to work, Jesus is Lord. All through the day, Jesus is Lord. When you've got an annoying person working with you, Jesus is Lord. Right? Praise God. That's dwelling in the secret place. What's the secret place? It's a place. It's the shadow. Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There's another place that says the secret place where no foe can dwell, where no enemies cannot dwell in the secret place. Did you know that? That's why praying in tongues is so important. How many of y'all, I won't tell you to hold your hand up, but if you want that gift, you can have that gift, I believe. Because the Bible says you pray mysteries. You pray things. When you don't know what to pray, start praying in tongues. I encourage you to pray in tongues a lot. But them gifts passed away. Shut up. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Paul said, I wish you all spoke in tongues. He said, when you speak in tongues, you what? You speak mysteries. You pray. You're praying for Heidi Baker, maybe over in the African jungle. You're like, you're sending out warriors, warring spirits. What'd you have there, brother? Devil don't understand tongues. I agree. Praying the mysteries. Okay, see? Okay. So here it is. He who dwells, and this is she too. They who dwell, say, I who dwell in the secret place of the Most High, I will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, you are my refuge and my fortress, my God, in you I will trust. In you I will trust. In you I will trust. Sometimes we need encouragement. I was in the prayer room this morning and heard some people get some encouragement. Praise God. You needed encouragement the other day, brother, didn't you? You got encouragement. Yes, it was through God, but it was through a humanoid. He uses us to encourage. When you think about somebody or you just have this flash of somebody on your mind, call them. Say, hey, I was just thinking about you. That's all you got to say. And they'll say, well, that's kind of interesting because you can even say I was praying for you. Woo, that's really going out on a limb. No, do it. Do it. God, Holy Spirit is speaking to you. I believe when you think of somebody you don't normally think of, it's just like, whoa, they must need encouragement, prayer, miracles, right? So sometimes Psalm 91 is misused. It only applies to those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I used to go to hospitals and I would always read Psalm 91 to them and pray over them. And I said, but then I got to thinking, but if this don't apply to you, I'm being deceitful. I need to tell you why it should apply to you. So, yeah, use these verses, but use them correctly. It don't apply to witches and warlocks can't claim these verses. They can speak in other tongues, too. There's demonic tongues. Amen. You don't have to worry about the Lord putting a demonic tongue on you because you got the Holy Spirit, okay? But everything that God does, there's a counterfeit. Divination. Ooh. Looking at crystal ball. Ooh. Ouija boards. Yeah. Yeah. You'll get something out of that. It's called a demon. Demons. Don't play around with that stuff, man. Don't play around with it. Don't even get on the edge of it. People like to play on the edge. I'm safe on the edge. I'm not going to drown on the edge. It ain't long before you're pulled in and you think the power's there. No. So everything is counterfeited by the enemy. It's like a trap, isn't it? Okay, misused verses. Here's one of them I hear all the time. I even hear Christian people I know praying this. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Well, that's partially true. That's partially true. But you're leaving out half of it, right? What's it say? It says, Submit yourself to God. Let's look at submit real quick. Submit, to arrange under, to subordinate, to subject, to put in subjection, to obey, to submit one's control, to yield one's, this is wordy. A Greek military term meaning to arrange troops and divisions in a military fashion under a commander or a leader. A voluntary attitude of giving and cooperating, assuming responsibility and carrying a burden. Submit yourselves to God. Submit yourselves to God. And at Heidi Baker, one thing she says is, lower God, lower still God, lower God, lower God. And the time she comes to churches, she will, many times I've seen her, they may not have heard her speak at all. She just lays down on the floor and wails and moans and don't do anything for an hour. She just gets in the presence of God and she'll say, lower God, lower still God, lower God. If you submit yourself to God and resist the devil, he will flee from you. Praise God. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourself and you will be exalted in due time. If we exalt ourselves, if you protect yourself, everybody in here has got somebody that's done you wrong. Everybody in here has got somebody that set a trap for them, or the enemy set a trap for them. The battle is the Lord's. If you'll get with the Lord will fight for you. Or you can fight for yourself. Now, Logan, I remember I seen a video one time of you doing UFC. Yeah, y'all used to do that at school, didn't you? In the bathrooms. And they videoed it. I'm like, whoa, he's pretty quick, pretty. Probably can't take that on yet, but what do you think? He knows. But the point is you could, it don't matter how bad you are, you could fight anybody on this planet. You could be able to beat up any flesh on this planet. But guess what? When it comes to the enemy, no, you will not prevail. You got to have something bigger. The Word of God, yes, you do need the Word of God, but you need to believe it and you need to act on it. And you need to live it because God wants to protect you. God is your husband, praise God. Now, man, that don't mean he's weird or nothing, but that just means, no, really, that just means he's a jealous husband. He's a jealous God. And when he sees his bride being somebody, you know, it's like if I saw somebody, you know, trying to mess with Donna, you know, I would get upset. Go, oh, no, you should be holy. And I'd say, no, oh, no, I would be very upset. And that's right. And that's how God looks at you. He looks at you like, you are my bride, and I love you, and I will protect you. And he's always carried concealed, always. He's always armed. God is always armed. He don't even have a little card in his pocket telling him it's legal. It's legal. He's armed, and he only destroys things that need destroying. Does that sound unbiblical? I don't care. He will take out your enemy. He will take out your enemy. Not flesh and blood, brother. Principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places that have been sent, Rachel, to destroy your family. I'm not speaking that on you. I'm saying every family here, their whole desire is to destroy the family. Through divorce, through whatever you want to call it. How many of y'all have, I told you short, I better get on. Ho! Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And then it goes on to say, draw near to God. I like King James, don't you? Draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. What a deal. You make a step to draw near to God, Misty. You make a step to draw. I knew that shake. You make just one step, and he makes 20. You know, he just wants a step. He just wants you to know that he is concerned about you. He just wants you to know that if you'll just step towards him, he'll step towards you. It's like the prodigal. We talk about that every now and then. But the prodigal, he thought, boy, I'm going to be a slave when I get back to dad's house. I've done dissed him. I spent all his money on prostitutes and alcohol. Oh, he ain't going to have me back, or he's going to have me in bondage. And said the father went, whoa, I grab your nasty body. You've been slopping pigs. I'm going to grab you, and I don't care how bad you smell, because I love you, Logan. I love you, Logan. Praise God. I know your daddy loves you, Logan. I'm not just speaking. He loves you, Samuel. You love your children, Mike. Your children love you. Praise God. Don't say no, Amy. No. No, no, really. In the love of the Father, the love of earth, never mind. An earthly father. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands. Just cleanse your hands for a second. Come on. Hey, man, come on, do it. Do it for a minute. I know they used to when surgeons went to surgery. They had to do that for medical person. Tell me how long they had to scrub. It was a while. I don't think they do it anymore because everybody gets bad diseases in hospitals. They don't wash their hands. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Cleanse your hands. Woo! Because I want to lay holy hands on people, don't you? That's a whole reason. That's a good reason to stay clean, just so you can lay holy hands on people. Whoa! Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift. Somebody said he. I heard that. He. Well, is that David? I heard he. Praise God, David. You're preaching. He will lift you up. One more, okay? Go to Matthew 7:7. That sounds biblical. It's amazing how the enemy perverts things, isn't it? I'm pretty sure a slot machine, when you get 777, it pays off big, doesn't it? Probably should be 666, right? Okay, verse 7, ask. And I looked up ask. Ask, and we know this, but ask means to ask and keep on asking. Like y'all kept asking for a baby, you could have went, well, you know, that's just the way it is. We give up. I mean, you could have done that, right? And you would have never got that revelation unless you were, I'm sure you were praying about this, weren't you? I'm sure you had a lot of people, because Why did you want a baby? Just curious. I'm not being smart, but just something to love together. And this ask in here, it says craving. Did you feel a craving for a baby more than anything else, right? It's all you could think about. At one time, Logan was all you could think about. Really? And your bride was all that you could think about, right? And I'm not saying you don't now, but I'm just saying when you come together as one, then you start thinking about eternal things that's going to build up your family, right? So that's a wonderful thing. But you didn't quit. And a lot of people quit that close to the promise, you know. So praise God. But you gotta crave. He wants you to crave him. He's not teasing you, but he wants to know that you want him, right? So ask, to beg, to crave, to desire, to require, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened up unto you. Praise God. For everyone who asks, what? Receives. Say, when I ask, when I ask, and I crave, and I keep on asking, I will receive. And he who seeks finds. I will find, Lord. I will keep seeking till I find, Lord. I'm going to get out on that four-wheeler when I get home, and I'm going to keep seeking and looking till I find my baby lost iPhone. And if I don't, I figure the Lord don't want me to have it for some reason. But, you know, I'm not going to go home and say, oh, God. Well, yeah, I could. Just drop it here on the kitchen table if it's your will. Could do that. But I'm going to look. Amen? I'm going to look. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be what? Open. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Question mark. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent, a poison snake? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So, good gifts to those who ask him. And you know, I just wrote down here that sometimes, most of the time, we need to ask the Lord what good gifts are. Because sometimes we don't have a clue what a good gift is. Anybody ever have adversity in their life or something that's fallen apart that drew them to God? You ever had anything like that? Well, God can make that a gift. Does that make sense? He can use anything as a gift. So here's what we're going to do. Just as I am. No. Going to put in some something, whatever you've got there. Lord God, we thank you. Let's just stand up and thank him for his word. Oh, your promises are yes and amen, Jesus. All your promises are true, Jesus. God, we thank you for your promises. Just hold your hands up and thank him. Missy, you thank him right now for what was prayed in the prayer room. And Jesus, just start thanking him for that. Start thanking him for that victory in Jesus' name. How many of y'all been asking for a miracle? Just hold your hand up with your eyes closed. You've been asking for a miracle. Well, Lord, the word says where two or more of us come together and agree on anything on earth is touching heaven. It will be done, not to glorify you, but to glorify the Father in heaven. He wants to give good gifts to his children. And if you've asked 1,000 times, 10,000 times, don't stop. You might be right at the edge of that vein of gold that God has promised you. Don't give up. Don't give up. Right now, if you've got something you're calling out for, you need a miracle. Oh, but it'd be a lack of faith if I, no. It's an act of faith to walk up here and get prayer. It's an act of faith. I need a miracle, Jesus. Somebody in my family needs a miracle, Jesus. Come on up here if that's you right now. And come up here right now if you're away from Jesus. Man, if you know Jesus once had your heart and you were strong and you loved him and there was no doubts and you knew you were clean before him. Come on up here and get washed. Get washed in that blood. Get washed in that beautiful Holy Spirit. He wants to heal you and deliver you in Jesus' name.